Tom, always good to have you on. Now, last week, we talked about Jason Ulner's op-ed in the Washington Post, where he talked about how he was proud to be a federal employee, a member of the Foreign Service, and talked about the good things that he didn't think people appreciated about the federal government. Now, that was based on a blog post from your Gov blog, or your Fed blog, excuse me. And tell me what's happened. What happened next?
Well, in doing a link to the item that appeared in the Post, the column that appeared in the Post, my colleague Charlie Clark went and got a response from Representative Dennis Ross of Florida, who's, as I think a lot of people know, has introduced legislation to boost the amount that federal employees contribute to their pensions and to cut the size of the workforce. So we get a response from him. And he said there's no doubt in anyone's mind that many federal employees work long hours and are dedicated public servants and perform their jobs at the highest level. And then he went on to say that that the taxpayer can't afford the cost of it, that it costs too much money, the payroll is too high, there's too many people making over $150,000 a year, and many other things like that. And so we posted that. And, he started to get some adverse reaction in the comments.
To say the least.
Yes. Including one person who said he's either a, quote, an idiot or a zealot. Well, the interesting thing was then Representative Ross himself, or at least someone posting on his behalf, and I did check to verify that it was an official, it was officially his, came back and posted a reply, point by point rebuttal to many of what the commenters were saying, and declared that he is not, in fact, an idiot or a zealot. And that led to another item I did just to highlight that. And that got even more comments. That got about 170 comments so far from people trying to make the case that he was, in fact, an idiot. So I'm not sure this is a great moment in civil discourse in government, but it is interesting.
You know why I think it's interesting, too, Tom, is that it looks to me like a microcosm of where the discourse is in this city. I will say that the statement that Congressman Ross gave Charlie to post on as an addendum, there's not a word in there that I think anybody could even reasonably misconstrue as what you and I have called Fed bashing before. He doesn't say anything that that disparages the work that federal employees do. He doesn't say anything about the having a problem with what's being performed. He simply says it's his view that taxpayers can't afford it anymore. Now, that's obviously a view that will be debated and voted on eventually in Congress, but that's not, I think that's separate from a lot of the things that we've seen, and to be fair, from members of his party in Congress who have talked about really negative images of the federal government and the people who work for it.
Yeah, it really is. He is pretty careful not to do sort of classic Fed bashing and say these are lazy bureaucrats,
right,
or people who don't deserve what they're getting. And I mean, there are people in our comments too who use those kind of terms all the time, and who make that case. And he's pretty careful not to do that. And it is interesting that a lot of people put this argument that federal employees are on the whole overpaid, and I'm not endorsing that. But a lot of people put that argument into the category of Fed bashing.
Mm-hmm.
They consider that to be Fed bashing, and it is. But it is fundamentally different than the sort of classic Fed bashing that we've seen over the years.
Well, I thought it was interesting though that he didn't even go to the overpaid thing. I mean, you quoted him directly. There's no doubt that the taxpayer can no longer afford defined benefit pension plans. That's a fact. Federal employees get that.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed raises is a little bit tricky because of the pay freeze that's been in effect the last couple of years. A $450 billion payroll. I don't know the total payroll of the government off the top of my head, but I would trust him to know it, considering he's been involved with legislation regarding it. And a federal workforce that is out of sync in both mission and size. And again, that's his opinion, and he's entitled to that opinion. It might be a bit strong for him to state there's also no doubt about these things that I just stated. But I think what he said was very measured, and I'm not sure it merited the response that he got. And I especially like the way that he ended the comment that he posted.
In which he said that members of Congress essentially are reading this. Interestingly, some people took that as sort of a threat, you know, in a way, because he said, thanks to all for the input. I do hope you realize we read these articles and comments, and I think some of the comments are indicative of the rhetoric we run into from many of your union bosses, and it is doing you as the hardworking federal worker no good.
And the idea that somebody reads that and thinks that that's a threat of some sort, like, I'm not sure what they think he could do to be threatened by that.
Well, I think I'm not saying it's a threat. I think that's really too strong of a word.
I agree.
But I think there is an undercurrent in there of him saying, essentially, we've got our eyes on you, and this is not making me think any more highly of you and making it any more likely that I'll not follow through on these things that I've said I want to follow through on.
Okay, so now I understand. I didn't take that message from that comment at all. I took it more from a discourse point of view of, hey, people do see what you write, and it reflects on you, which I think is perfectly reasonable. And so if you want to make your case, this may not be the best way to make it, because that's – and I think the message that I read between the lines is, hey, I didn't go there, and I'm not sure I see the need for you to go there. But I didn't take away anything of, hey, we're watching you, in a threatening way.
Yeah, and I think that's, it's easy to, get a misinterpretation there. But I think you raise a very good point that I think if you look at the comments from a purely objective point of view, it's pretty hard to argue with the case he's making there that some of these are pretty far out of line because they're very personal and they're very vicious. And not everyone, but a great many of them are. And we don't, as a practice, censor our comments. There are certain rules, about language and stuff that we enforce, and we allow the comments, if more than five people flag a comment as being offensive, it gets removed. But other than that, we're pretty big on the First Amendment. But it is, in these things, you tend to get people who are very extreme and who are shouting and going to extreme rhetoric.
What do we do? I mentioned that this strikes me as indicative of where we are rhetoric-wise and discourse-wise. What do we do to try to change that? Because I'll be honest with you, no disrespect to your readers or to your website, but I got about 30 comments into this, and I just went, this is just out of hand.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things about it. I mean, partly the rhetoric has gotten very polarized across the board, and people are choosing up sides in the way that they just didn't used to choose up sides. Congress itself is much more polarized. I mean, there's just really no such thing as moderates in either party in a lot of ways. So I think that the overall discourse is part of it. There's a great deal of anger out there about the current economic situation and now how it's having an effect on federal employees. And I think the last thing is online, people view themselves as being sort of basically either anonymous or just they have a willingness to just say much more extreme things than they would ever say to someone's face. And that's just sort of the nature of the beast.